8:03 a.m. It's the morning shift, Mike and Squid. It's the wake-up call coming up, 404-726-0929. A lot of good conversation this morning, man. And good conversation coming up as well. Dennis Dodd joins us in about 18 minutes. Don't want to miss that. He put out a couple of good articles about possible nine-game scheduling and some agreements going on between the Big Ten and the SEC. So that'll be fun to talk to him about college football and all the craziness going on. Also been talking about the Falcons, man, that defensive line, the run defense, the pass rush, and everything in between. What's more concerning in the long run? What's more concerning this weekend, man? But for right now, let's go ahead and head out to the phone lines. We'll go to Squid Billion, our buddy, man. Hey, long time no talk, Squid Billion, man. Hope you've been good.
I know. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Ellis Squid.
Sir.
Mike, I know you've been getting comfortable, but I have not gone anywhere. I've been here listening from the shadows, and my mailbox is doing fine. Okay.
Hey, not for long now, Squid Billion. Not for long. I'm sending a hitman up there with a baseball bat.
I would expect nothing less. I think it has been long enough to where, Elder Squid, I need to say congratulations.
Yes.
The nation has an heir, and that's exciting. So
thank
congratulations
you
on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, man.
I appreciate that.
I'm more excited than Bo is at this point, I think, man, because I know what he's getting into, and he doesn't know what he's getting into. I'm not talking about it in a sad way either, Squid Billion. I'm talking about I'm so excited for him. But, yeah, man, good call. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I do want to say, like, look, I'm happy for the Falcons. I think they're doing all the right things right now. They're trending in the right direction. They're doing what it takes to get into the postseason. I do want them to really focus on that red zone percentage because that is what's going to make the difference once you get into the postseason and you're hitting those more efficient, more competent offenses. You need to make that get over 50%.
Yeah.
For this weekend, I am more – I don't know if concerned is the right word. I think the pass rush is more important. For Geno to make those mistakes, you got to get him under pressure. And so that's more important this weekend. I think the run defense is more important in the long run. Great to talk to you guys again. Love the show.
Yeah, thanks buddy. That's a great call. And look, he said over 50%. I do have to point out, man, the football player inside of me has to just tell you one of the reasons it was at 50%, and you know this, Bo, is because we knelt the ball in the red zone at the end. That kind of brought us down to 50%. But other than that, we were over as far as 50% touchdown rate.
You're right. He's also right, though, because going in, they were at 42.9%. And so, like, there's no – I also I want to touch on multiple things that he said. The Seahawks, Geno Smith, yeah, you want to get there. If you can – I would take just – I think it might be just as efficient if you can just move Geno. And I think, as opposed to actually taking him down
think
to the
he'll
ground.
Give you one?
Because I think he'll give you one.
Yeah.
I think he might give you more than one. Through five games, he's got, or six games, he has six interceptions. So he's averaging one a game. So the odds are you're going to get one.
Yeah.
Just make sure you make it count to his point about getting in the red zone. The other thing is that he talked about the mailbox. Amy had our mailbox painted yesterday.
Yeah.
Our mailboxes are a big deal in our neighborhood because everyone has to have the exact same mailbox.
What color are they? Black?
Black.
Yeah, okay.
With gold letters.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can definitely be a thing where if your mailbox isn't up to, you know, necessarily code, you can get probably came after. And our door had gotten to the point where I had, like, random bolts holding it in. And it kept falling. The door kept falling. Dude fixed the door, too. Not only did he paint my mailbox, he fixed the door, too.
Wow.
And I don't know. And I don't think she paid a lot. Which was kind of cool. I mean, it was very reasonable. But, man, I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. All right, let's go back to the lines. Let's hit up our buddy, Chief. And let me be the first to say, what's happening, Chief?
What's happening, Chief? I got a couple things before I get to the book thing right quick. Y'all know a little book story. But you know what, though? It was a great weekend. We should have sat the quarterback more, though, because I'm sorry. Aaron Dalton, he looked like Michael Vick a couple times back there. We got to put the quarterback on the ground. The Cowboys lost. The Saints lost. It was a great weekend for me. Now, let's get to the bug thing. My wife, she's tougher than I am, guys, when it comes to bugs.
Uh-oh.
One time we walked in the house, bug levitates. This big bug levitates. Okay? I smacked the bug. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just hear, finish him. My wife went crazy. She DDT RKO. What was it? She killed that thing. It was demolished. I don't think it was.
Fatality.
All of a sudden, Chief's wife turned into like a Stone Cold and Vincent Mann's in the ring. I'm going to kick you. Boom, stunner. That's hilarious. There are some.
I was going to say levitate. I'm pretty sure that's just called flying when you're a bug.
We were on my neighbor's back porch, and I don't know if some bugs don't have wings.
They don't, but I'm just saying, if that one was levitating, I think that's what you'd call it.
It's a special bug.
I think you'd just say flying.
We're sitting on the back porch.
It's not a UFO. It's just a bug.
Well, my young neighbors, you know, they get that, and he looks over, Carter looks over and goes, "Hey, there's a bug right behind you, Maddie. There's a bug," and she starts freaking out. And just like I told you, I was like, just take it. Boom. And pull it back up.
You got insurance on that iPhone you just slammed
down? Yeah, I did. And you look up, and there's a bug splatter. And she's like, "Oh, thank you." I'm like, you could have done it too.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is take a shoe and whack.
How old is she?
They're in their early 20s, like 25,
No, I mean the kid.
What kid?
You said there was a kid. I thought you said it was a kid.
Their kids. Because they're like in their 20s.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, their kids. Okay. I thought you were saying like their kids were out back.
No. They are kids.
Okay.
They're 24, 26.
Yeah, those are children. anyways, man, I was going to say, man, good for them that their kids are scared. My son, 4.
She was scared.
Not scared in the slightest about the angriest looking bugs, dude. Go out back the other day next to the swing set, a banana spider. I swear this thing had a leg span like 5 inches wide. He's like, "Daddy, can I hold it?"
No.
I'm sorry, what? Like, not only can you hold it, but get away from that thing. Oh, my gosh, dude. Are you kidding me?
Picking up worms.
I mean, that's a little boy.
Yeah. Dude, I told you.
He's so boy, dude.
The old neighbors that lived next door, they had 2 little boys. I would walk outside, go to the trash can or whatever, because I don't want to say where I have my trash cans, but they're in the back of the house. I don't want to get in trouble. And I'd look out there, no shirt, no pants, and underwear.
Yep.
I mean, and they are digging in holes, and I'm like, "What are you guys doing?" "Oh, look, Mr. Bo," and they like hold up a freaking worm.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
"Yep, that's my son, dude."
They randomly popped over the other day. He goes right to the valve box, you know where the water shut off is.
Yep,
and he looks at his dad. "You think the salamander's still here?" He goes, "I don't know, buddy. Why don't you check?" I'm like, "Geez."
Oh man, let's go ahead and get at least one more caller here. Let's go to our buddy down South Georgia boy over in Swainsboro. We them Georgia boys. We them. Yeah, man.
Hey,
you
good
don't
morning,
know
guys.
About that.
What's up,
good
man?
Morning, good morning, Mike, Big Mike. And, my boy Squid. Listen, I'm looking more at the defense, man. I definitely need a nose guard. We need somebody about at least 350.
Oh, you ready to add somebody? You know, okay.
Yeah, we need to get somebody. We need a big guy, you know, down in the middle, you know, try to stop the run.
Yeah.
We definitely need to square it up. And look, another thing is this, the cornerback, man. I like Phillips, but that height thing is starting to bother me a little bit. You know, like he got beat on that touchdown. If he was a little bit taller, he probably would have got the pick, or at least knocked it down. And, you know, I think we need to just try to use him in the right situation. That was a bad situation to use him at right there.
Well, first of all, let me just say this. You got your hand forced on you a little bit with the situations down the stretch. All right, you just did.
Yeah.
You got your hand forced on. The personnel you're playing with, and obviously Simmons goes out of the games. He has the hamstring tightness. Micah Abernathy, has the torn up knee at some point. So you kind of forced yourself into a situation with the amount of people you had. Kevin King obviously playing meaningful snaps in that game.
And Antonio Hamilton has been a little rough, too, and I think that's probably why you saw Clark in there at times.
Yeah, he has been rough.
Mike Hughes has not. Mike Hughes has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm not worried about the secondary or the height.
The thing I would say is Clark Phillips was plenty tall enough to make that pick to seal the game.
Yeah.
And so was AJ on his. I get the thought, though, he's right. Clark Phillips.
I think in a perfect world, yes.
Clark Phillips was as high up on the ladder as I think he'd get. The problem was it was a perfect throw, and Leggett made the catch.
Real quick, we got to get to break because we got Dennis Dodd on the other side. You don't want to miss that. Are you on the boat of possibly adding a defensive lineman at some point, though?
Yeah, but
that's the other part of DSGB's call there.
I am, but I want to. I don't want a nose tackle. I want to get off the edge.
I'm just not sure it's a personnel issue, man. You go back and watch film, like they just. I don't know, man. It doesn't seem like it to me.
I have said for a lot of it. I think half the problem is the fact that you give so much cushion, and you never seem to come up and take you never hug up on the receivers, and I think you've played guys that are smart enough to be like, "Hey, guess what? Boom, dink and duck. I'll take everything you give me."
Yeah, I tend to agree, man, but it'd be a conversation ongoing. Hopefully that secondary can rise up this weekend. All right, we got to go to break, man. On the other side, we're going to talk to Dennis Dodd. He puts a story out last night about the Big Ten SEC, the meetings going on, what kind of agreements could they come to. We'll talk to him. College football talk coming up on the other side of the break. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and Squid hanging out with you here on this beautiful, brisk Tuesday morning here in the city of Atlanta, man. A lot of fun conversation going on about this Falcons defense. What's more concerning? Appreciate everybody's calls and tweets on the wake-up call last segment, man. And a lot of thoughts about that. A lot of thoughts about the Falcons defensive line and what this team needs to be moving forward. Big matchup with Seattle this weekend. For right now, though, we're going to go out to the phone lines. We're going to bring in national sports writer for CBS Sports. That's Mr. Dennis Dodd. Dennis, I hope you're doing well this morning. Let's jump right into it, man. You put out an article last night, Big Ten SEC in discussions over a landmark scheduling agreement. Tell me why there would be any downside to this, because as a Bama guy who watched them go up to Madison a few weeks ago, it looked electric. It sounded electric. Bama comes away with a big win. Seems like this would be a win for everybody.
There's no downside. I mean, unless I guess you're a group of five member, because this kind of signals further separation. But I think we all admit that now. Yeah, I think consciousness were elevated after Texas, Michigan, and Alabama, Wisconsin. We all know those games were on the schedule. When some of these administrators saw what you just talked about, it's like, why can't we have more of this? You know, and we're the two biggest, best conferences. Let's just come together. And if people don't know, they were in discussions to do sort of a challenge non-conference series of SEC and Big Ten non-conference games throughout the season. I think the fans would love it. It would help those two schools resumes for the playoff, give them a good chance, not a good chance, but, you know, more reason to say, hey, we want three or four automatic qualifiers. Look what we've put together here. And it increased, like I said, strength of schedule. So it's a win-win-win.
Well, the other win for me, Dennis, hopefully for the foreseeable future, is the two leagues working together to keep the private equity out of college football. How long can – do they have to bring in the Big 12 and the ACC? Can they push this? Like, how long can they withstand the private equity coming into the sport?
Well, you're exactly right, and that's a big piece of this, in that they want to create enough revenue on their own that goes to them without having to deal with Super League, because I think this addresses that, and without having to go to a third party for money. Some of these other leagues or schools may do that, but I think that was a great observation by you. I think this is a big part of that. And the private equity piece, is, again, for people that don't know, private equity is money that is loaned over a period of time, but that company, that entity, whoever it is, then owns a piece of your company, quote unquote, and you have to pay it back at some point. So with revenue share and everything coming down the pike, this makes these two leagues more sturdy.
Do you think, Dennis, and by the way, visiting with Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, do you think, Dennis, that this kind of alignment between the Big Ten and the SEC eventually leads to a little bit less chaos in terms of the rules governing the sport? And I read your piece the other day on Chip Kelly, and he gave some great insight, right? I mean, it was like, basically, I put the practice schedule out, and then I asked people for money.
Yeah.
I think everybody, at least in the Southeastern Conference, would be in agreement. Like, we want a few more rules around these situations. Do you think that these meetings between the Big Ten and the SEC can eventually lead to a little bit more governing around the sport right now?
Yeah, that's a great point. In fact, people have kind of forgotten, and I was surprised that the NCAA Council, its last meeting last week, didn't address this, but at least the four Power Four are sort of demanding from the NCAA a separate governance model. And within that four, along with the Big 12 and ACC, obviously you'd have the SEC and Big 10 sort of kind of running things. But it would just get rid of the minutiae. You know, I talked to Greg Sankey in July at the media days in Dallas when I was writing about this particular subject. And I said, let me sum it up for you, Greg. You don't want a Division III president voting on roster caps. And he said, exactly. That's an out there example. but not too far off the truth the way things are going, the way things have gone for decades in the NCAA. So there are unique problems for these two leagues and these four leagues that they would like to have for themselves to govern.
You mentioned Greg Sankey, Dennis, and I think bringing him up makes me remember the statement he put out yesterday about Kirby Smart and the shove of the Mississippi State quarterback. Should he basically said it should have been penalized. Should the league have done more to penalize Kirby Smart after the shove?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a hard one. I guess they could have fined him. I mean, it would have been symbolic, not anything meaningful, because we know how much Kirby makes. I guess that could have been the next step. But again, it wasn't Woody Hayes shoving the linebacker on the side of the field when he went nuts. And Kirby apologized. Kirby addressed it. I think it had maybe a 48-hour shelf life. I think it's over by now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. We talked a little bit about it earlier. To me, it was like, your buddy's talking trash and Madden. Maybe it's like an elbow shove, side shove. I'm not that worried about it. Hanging out with Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. Dennis, one of the conversations that continues to grow legs, I think, in at least some circles, is the conversation about the 4 seed in the college football playoff. And, this has been kind of an interesting talking point. See some people on Twitter kind of pointing it out, that if chaos ensues in the Big 12, and remember, it's not the Power Four conference champions, it's just the highest-ranked four conference champions, is there a chance, if Army can find a win against Notre Dame, and there is chaos in the Big 12, do you see a scenario where the college football playoff, before the Army-Navy game, puts an undefeated Army team in a conference champion in that 4 slot ahead of a Big 12 champion?
I suppose. I'm trying to, they would have, a win over one ranked team.
I believe you're right. Yep.
Do not forget that Miami, if they win the ACC, has a great chance of not playing a ranked team. So put them in that mix too.
Wow.
If Army runs the table, go look at Miami's schedule. They will not play a ranked team until the conference championship game, the way things are right now. So I think that has to be discussed too. So yeah, I mean, they could get a bye. I think it's fascinating to me where, I mean, this is a CBS dream. My company, they've got the traditional game after either Army or Navy possibly gets a CFP spot, playing each other back to back weeks in the American Championship game. I'm all for it. I love the service academies anyway. I think this is amazing. These two teams, here, stump your friends with this one, guys. Guess which two teams this week are number 1 and 2 in passing efficiency in the nation.
God, I hope it's Army and Navy. I was going to say, I hope it's Army and Navy.
Small sample size, admittedly, but they are doing some things in the passing game that are making those things more efficient.
What do you, Dennis, what do you think about Texas-Georgia this weekend down in Austin? It's kind of a cool matchup that we get to see these two teams playing a meaningful regular season game. Can Georgia go to Austin and upset Texas? Because I tend to believe that they're the best team in the country at Texas right now.
I think they can. I think to start that discussion, you just have – I agree with you. I think Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas are the three best teams in the country. And in any given week, one can stand out. Oregon is standing out right now for the job they did. But I think Texas is as complete a team as you'll see. I think defensively, especially after losing Byron Murphy and the Sweat Kid at defensive tackle, who were all America, all Big 12 type players right in the middle, and they're probably better in the middle defensively, and they're down linemen, is a big indicator to me. And the fact that you can keep winning when your best quarterback may be on the bench. that may be the case with Arch. I don't know. Quinn Ewers is fine. He threw the interception early against Oklahoma and had a great game. But I think defensively is what separates Texas, because they always, since 2009, when they went to the championship game against Alabama, they would always have that, have that flaw on defensively giving up big plays. They don't do that now. And the fact that they've lost two running backs for the season in the preseason, and they're still running the ball effectively. I saw them against Michigan live. I love what Steve Sarkisian is doing, and maybe he's been doing this for years, and it just dawned on me. They're running Bill Walsh's West Coast offense. They throw a lot to the tight end. They pick up ground yards, throwing to the backs, and those jailbreak screens on the perimeter, which a lot of teams do, but it's just little chunks, and then they go over the top and they can with Isaiah Bond, although I think he's hurt. So I really like Texas in this game, not by a lot, but I do like him to win.
Yeah, it's going to be a good matchup this weekend, Dennis. We got about 10 seconds. I just want to ask you: has the SEC played itself out of Heisman consideration this year?
Let's see. Dylan Gabriel, Travis Hunter's hurt. Not yet. I mean, we still have a long season to go. I think anything's possible right now.
Anything is possible. You heard it from the man himself. That's Dennis Dye from CBS Sports, man. Always appreciate you, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, awesome stuff, man. Yeah, they're from really Dennis good. Dye.
I love when he agrees with me.
Yeah, I could tell. You're over there just, you know, rubbing your chin and your beard and just feeling good about all that conversation.
I am the
man.
Brains of the show.
All right, man, we got to roll on. You got a Life of Squid coming up in a minute. I don't even know if I want you to tease it because it's usually just, you know, long, drawn out, and just not great version of events, man. But what do you got coming up?
Aaron Rodgers did something last night that Tom Brady would never do.
Not a boy.
And could never do.
All right, that's coming up on the other side. It's the Life of Squid. It's the Morning Shift, Mike and Bo. Stick with us here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
And?
The Odyssey app. 8:44:42. That's the time as we move through this last segment
for
of the
being
Morning
exact
Shift. You know what I mean?
Really,
I was like,
really
going to say 8:44, and I was like, nah, it's almost 45.
You know, I kind of like
right
that
there right now.
The talk back's not working. I kind of like it because I can push the button and say whatever I want to those guys, and then in my mind they heard it.
Yeah.
And then they're
I was going to say they can respond to us though.
Dylan just looks at me and Garrett just smiles with his Chick-fil-A face and says, "My pleasure." And so it doesn't even matter what I said. Doesn't even matter.
Garrett is like the prototypical Chick-fil-A worker too.
He is absolutely
full of smiles. Bright, shiny day.
With all due respect, and I love going to Chick-fil-A because of the way that it's the service, how quickly the food's good. But Garrett still dresses like he works at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Like he could.
I respect it though, man. It's like a business casual thing going on.
He could literally walk out of here and walk right into Chick-fil-A and just go behind the desk and start working.
Yeah. If anybody out there doesn't get the picture yet, he looks like a freshman at Georgia Tech. Like that's exactly what we're dealing with back here. Nonetheless, man, we got to get to Life of Squid. I do want to bring this up, man, because Day-Day put out a tweet a minute ago. It's kind of catching fire a little bit. He's watching Penguin right now.
I'm watching it.
I just started a show with Jason Bateman called The Outsider.
What's that on?
I think it's on Max.
Penguin's on Max, so
yeah.
You know.
So, but HBO. I asked Day-Day, I was like, give me a ranking for Penguin. So obviously, I've already started this Outsider show, and I think it's pretty good, too. I'm not ready to rank it, but Day-Day's like, straight up, man, 9 out of 10 right now, if not more. I was like, whoa, dude.
Well,
whoa.
Now, I am not caught up. I have not watched this week, which I believe was Sunday.
Are they still doing weekly releases
on
Max?
They do weekly. Well, they aired on HBO, too. It's a joint venture thing. But, yeah, they're doing weekly releases. I am not I'm not caught up. I've not seen this week's yet. But so far, it's been pretty good. And Colin Farrell,
yeah,
dude, like the makeup that they use on him is amazing because you can't really tell. Amy came downstairs. She's like, "Who is that?" And I was like,
"She came downstairs. You're not watching it with her?
No, she ain't gonna watch Penguin with me. She don't
care.
She's
watching it by yourself.
Penguin, yeah.
You might be a serial killer.
She don't care about comic
book movies.
Watching
Penguin by yourself.
Dude, she is not gonna watch that TV show with me. She wouldn't watch Game of Thrones with me either. She doesn't watch House of Dragon with me.
What does she do? She
watches those murder mysteries where she doesn't want to watch
fake
murder.
Oh, so she's watching
murder.
The Outsider with me.
She wants to watch real murder.
She's watching Investigation Discovery.
You know those Murdoch murders?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Garrett's extended family. It looks like Garrett could be a part of that family, too. She watched all that, and I was like, I can't watch this crap.
Don't see my guy.
It sounds like a cry for help.
Don't see my guy like that, man.
Watching Penguin by myself?
Yeah. No, you're talking about your wife. Anyways, don't do my guy like that. I'm very intrigued now by Penguin. And I will say, and I know you got to get a lot of
stuff. It's pretty good, actually.
Colin Farrell, there was a piece put out about him a couple months ago about his nonverbal son. I think he is autistic. Great, great dad, dude. Like, I mean, just anybody that has any concerns about that, go look that up. Colin Farrell, a winner in my book, man, everything he has going on at home. So I'm glad that he's got a hit show now, too.
He's a guy that I never was a fan of early in his career. Because he just came off like a jerk, I felt. But the more and more you get to kind of know the guy.
Matures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, he's new Keanu Reeves, though. That's right. W-Sauce. Owl. N. Craft Lager. You want me to bring you one?
Well, I was going to say, I might have one at Dudley's on Saturday night when I'm there hanging out with everybody.
You know, yeah, you can if they have it. I was hoping they do. Or you and I can bring one when we tailgate for whiskey.
That's a good point.
Whiskey Myers.
Yes, dude. Whiskey Myers Friday night.
I think we need to arrange our situation.
I'm with you.
How
on
we
that.
Meet up on
let's
that.
Get it.
Maybe
let's
we go to Arby's and then go to the.
Yeah, man.
Or we get a sack full of crystals. That'd be good. And then we tailgate. We like, sit there and we drink the Al Inn lager, craft lager from New Realm, and we eat crystal burgers.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. That sounds interesting.
Maybe that's post game.
Yeah, man. There you go. Now we're talking. Yes, now we're talking. Okay.
Don't forget the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic, November 25th. At Eagle Watch, go to the 929 Game website, click on the events tab, and you'll see all the information. It is all benefiting my friends at Pets for Vets. The veterans mean a lot to me. So does my dog. You combine the two, boom, you got the greatest veterans charity you can find out there. One of them. Anyways, they're all great because they're all helping our veterans who are very important to me and should be to all of us. They gave us our freedom. All right. Aaron Rodgers, you know, they fire Robert Saleh. Nathaniel Hackett gets taken down a notch. He's just a glorified coffee getter now. And they go out last night. They don't do that well, Mike. The offensively, they move the ball. They struggled in the red zone. They missed some field goals.
Bad red zone.
But the bigger story, one of the bigger stories, was they had 11 penalties for what, like 100? Was it 165 yards? I think
it was bad. It was a big number.
It was a huge number for penalties, and 110. I'm sorry, 110. 11 for 110. He went in last night on the officials in postgame.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. I was about to play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either.
Did you hear that?
Is that sarcastic ball? Is that from?
That's from South Park.
South Park, yeah.
That is where they do the fake.
Everybody's hugging.
And he's like, oh, 15, that's a touchdown for a hug. Like, it's so great, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
I cannot
believe. Play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things.
But I want that drop, Dylan, because I'm going to use that at some point. But that is so good. First off, Aaron Rodgers, me and Steak are talking about this in a break. Aaron Rodgers wants to be different. Steak's right. But also, Aaron Rodgers is the guy that once he goes there, he's going to go all the way there. Yeah. He's not going to half-ass the, hey, guess what? I'm going to get fined. I'm going to get every ounce of my money. He's like the guy that was at Mercedes-Benz Stadium the night they honored Arthur Blank.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I can go back more than once for the free hot dogs? Yeah. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back every commercial
hey,
break.
Man, can I have your free hot dog ticket? I'm just picking them up off the ground.
Dude, he's that guy.
Nah, I respect it.
Tom Brady can never do it. Do you agree with him, though?
Aaron, I do, and I love the fact that he pointed out against himself because I think too many times does it fall on deaf ears when you're just kind of rooting for yourself in these situations. The fact that he can come out and say that, you know, a penalty that he benefited from is also bad, I think it means 10 times more in that situation than it would otherwise.
I was about to play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those
you're
things.
You're absolutely right. Can I say this, though? Aaron Rodgers annoys me at times. He's a curmudgeon, and he wants to be different. But I do appreciate him at times, and I appreciate how he's not afraid at times. And I think too many people, and you know, like you said, they wouldn't say that. They're afraid. He's not. I like that. I appreciate it about him.
Well, you know who else is not afraid? That's Steak Shapiro, man. We'll check out what's coming up on the Steakhouse when we come back. Stick with us. It's the morning shift. Finishing up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.